1 minute until showtime.
Good morning, everyone. Your greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Not going to have any music this morning. Got problems with Blog Talk. So, anyway, we can have our teaching in our scripture. We're going to be in the 3rd chapter of Kings. Pardon me. Got to get my throat clear here a little bit. And had some dank weather. Causing throat to kind of mess up this morning. All right. Going to be in the 3rd chapter here with 1 Kings. Beginning here with verse 1. Pardon me just a moment. I've got to get rid of some of this. I'm sorry about the sound, but not sick or anything. It just, one of those things where the hits closes my sinus, blowing my throat. And you can't get it up and you can't get it down. Now, here in verse 1, it says, and Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jericho round about. 2, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. You know, the marrying of a princess of one royal house to someone in a foreign royal family customarily sealed a political alliance in the ancient Near East. Now, however, the giving of Pharaoh's daughter to a foreign king is virtually without precedent. But the fact that the king of Egypt did so testifies to his respect for Solomon. In other words, he thought pretty well of Solomon. Now, 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. The high places were open-air sanctuaries found on hilltops or in special sacred enclosures. The basic problem with the high places was that they too easily became spots for the religious practices of Canaan to creep into Israel's worship experience. Now, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. So there was the great high place the cows and burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. You know, the tabernacle was in Gibeon, and the ark, however, had been taken to Jerusalem. So the ark was in a different place, see. But Solomon is basically trying back. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now the Lord is asking, what does he want? Now, 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, 7. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give there now, give there for thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may disconcern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. He's asking here mainly for wisdom, because he doesn't have the understanding and all that he needs in order to be able to do the things that he's going to be called upon to do. Solomon's humble remarks there in 7, that he was a little child, is to be understood as a statement of his inexperience. He had already sired a son. In other words, he already now had a son born. So he's not really a child, but he is in the eyes of God, and as far as his experience and all goes. Now, 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemy, but hast asked for thyself understanding to disconcern judgment. 12. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there are none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now that's really granting somebody something, isn't it? You see, wisdom and justice were highly esteemed qualities for a good king in the ancient Near East, and they would be a distinguishing mark of the Messianic king. Solomon's wisdom will be manifested immediately. It will be demonstrated often. So now, we've got one demonstration coming up, and it shows actually the great understanding as well as wisdom that God has given. Now, 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now, he's giving everything. Things he didn't even ask for. And it was because of that that the Lord gave it to him. Now, 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as the father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. He'll even give him a longer life if he'll walk as his father had walked. Now, 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Now, we find here he's setting up a feast out for all that serve him. 16. Then came there two women that were harlots. Now these two women are not even good women. They're harlots. Unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together there, were no strangers with us in the house, save we two in the house. In other words, they just the two of them there. Now they both had babies. 19. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. In other words, she had gotten actually on it and caused it to die. Probably smothered. Anyway. 20. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. It's not her son, she said. So you got these two women claiming this one child. You see where his judgment is going to come in here. And he's really going to need the judgment of Almighty God. Now, 22. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son, and this said no. But the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. This is the way they are speaking now here before Solomon. 23. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. Uh-oh. Before the king. And they brought a sword to him. 25. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Now he's told to divide this baby. Because you see, he knows. He's already got things in his mind and in his heart. Now, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. In other words, she loved her son enough that she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and in no way, no wise, slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Now, one is saying not to kill it, and the other is saying go ahead and divide it. 27. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Because she had enough love that she was willing to give it up to the one that had lost hers, so that it would live instead of being killed. And he knew then that she was the real mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 3, and we're going to be going in here to those that would be with Solomon, and they are a lot of names here, and most of them will not get really right. Because back then, the names are not like they are today. Now, here in verse 1, it says, so King Solomon was king over all Israel. 2, and these were the princes which he had. Zara, the son of Zadok, the priest. Of Zadok, the priest. Eliophah, Ahijah, the son of Shiasa, scribes of Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host, and Zadok and Abiathar, their priests, and Zara, the son of Nathaniah, was over the officers, and Zabad, the son of Nathan, was principal officer and the king's friend. And Ahishar was over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, was over the tribute. 7. And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided vehicles for the king and his household. Each man his month in a year made provision. And these are their names. The son of Hur in Mount Ephraim, the son of Dekar in Machaz, and in Shiblim and Bethshemesh, and Elbeth Hanan, 10, the son of Heshed in Aruba. To him pertained to Koha and all the land of Hefer. 11. The son of Abinadab in all the region of Dor, which had Tabitha, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. Benaiah, the son of Elud, to him pertained Hananoth and Megiddo, and all the Shina, which is by Sertana, beneath Jezreel, from Bashin to Abel Meholah, even unto the place that is beyond Jokneam. 13. The son of Gibar in Ramoth Galilee, to him pertaineth the town of Jar, the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, to him also pertained the region of Argob, which is in Bashan. 80 great cities with walls and brazen bars. Ahinadab, the son of Idu, Mahanim. 15. Amasa was in Naphtali. He also took Basemath, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. There's two of Solomon's daughters now married. 16. Benaiah, the son of Hushai, was in Asher and in Aluth. Jehoshaphat, the son of Peruel in Issachar. Shemaiah, the son of in Benjamin. 19. Gerber, the son of Uriah, was in the county of Gilead, country of Gilead, in the county of Shihon, king of the Amorites, and of Og, king of Bashan. And he was the only officer which was in the land. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. 21. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. 24. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tishon even to Zala, over all the kings on this side the river. And he had peace on all sides around the valley. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariot. 40,000 stalls of horses and 12,000 horsemen. He had quite an army, didn't he? Now, 27. And those officers provided virtue for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month. They lacked nothing. Barley also, and straw for the horses, and dromedaries brought they unto the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. Now, we're going to get into Solomon's wisdom. 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Now, 30. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. 31. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezraites, and Heman, and charcoal and Deronda, the sons of Mahoil. And his fame was in all nations around about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now, 33. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. 34. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, for all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Now, you see, God gave him what he prayed for, plus he gave him so much more because he hadn't asked for riches and things of that nature for himself. But God granted it to him anyway. We have now come to the end of chapter 4. Now, we're going to stop here for the morning and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for this time that we can come together to share with each other the word, Father, so that we can grow together in knowledge, in wisdom, and grow in faith, in strength, and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can walk straighter and stronger in obedience unto thy word, so that we make no errors and mistakes, Father, and that we'll bring all things to you that we need answers for, Father, because this world has no meaning for any of us, Father, that stand with you. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem that they have peace. And also, Father, that they will all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, will be known as the land for Jesus. This land of ours, so much evil has been brought upon it, and by its own, by those, Father, that are sitting in high places that are evil. And there's not really that many, Father, but they was let do it by those that would keep quiet and not say anything about it. And they have got it, Father, that we're now things that are good are being called bad, and things that are bad are being called good. And Father, I pray that those that are evil in these high offices be removed and replaced by those that serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, loves your people, and loves this land. And that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and set this government of ours upon foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. My Father, for each and every one that is joined with me in this ministry and that listens to our studies, wherever they are and whoever they are, that they be in health, in love, that they be always reaching the things of thy kingdom and not to the things of this world. Now, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Sue Branson, Deborah and Daryl, Father, my wife, myself, and all the patients, Father, in the Brandenburg Nursing Home. Father, be with each and every one, touching them according to their need, Father. Now, Father, keep us all through this day. Keep us in health. Father, keep us safe and bring us back together again at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for study again of thy word, Father. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.